in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, this morning. Haggai, chapter 1. Now, Haggai is, chronologically speaking, sitting in the right place in the Old Testament. You know, once you get earlier than Haggai, they're kind of chronologically not in order, if you will, about when they were written. But the last three books of the Old Testament are in chronological order: Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Malachi being the newest of the Old Testament and so forth. So Haggai was written around 500 BC. And it was written about the time when Ezra was told to come back and rebuild the temple. And then after that, Nehemiah came back and rebuilt the walls in Jerusalem. And this is the first prophecy from Haggai, from the Lord, to God's people, Israel, encouraging them, it's time to rebuild the temple. So that's a little bit of background, starting in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. So consider your ways. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. We thank you for your word, that we have a copy of it, that we can open it together. And now we pray the Holy Spirit would use it in our lives to grow us, to teach us, to work miracles. Lord, we just want to please you. So I pray we can push aside the distractions of life, open our hearts and listen and allow you to work. I pray, Lord, that your will be done in every life. Someone in our service not born again, I pray they realize today they must be born again if they hope to see heaven. Lord, Christians, I pray today would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we see here is that the people, God's people, Israel, were putting off the rebuilding of God's temple. Of course, it had been destroyed under Nebuchadnezzar when the Judah was taken away. And now God said it's time. It had been quite a while since the temple had been destroyed. And so through his prophet, God is saying to Israel, it is time. It's time to rebuild the temple. And of course, that eventually did take place, as we see, and continued under Ezra. So if you were to jump back to the book of Ezra, you would see where that took place. But the Lord, in speaking to his people, he says to them there in verse 5, consider your ways. God's saying, I want you to stop and think about your priorities. Because you live in your sealed houses, and you live your lives, And my house, my temple, lies waste. And what was happening is they were putting their lives, their things, if you will, before God. Can that happen to a Christian? All the time. Matter of fact, in describing the final days in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're in that day, are we not? Where it's all about me, 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 pleasing me, self, self, self. We got that from the devil, by the way, this pride thing. But Christianity is supposed to be just the opposite. Christianity is supposed to be putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, it's about God. It's about pleasing God. It's about serving God. And so God, in this first, he's going to say it again, but in this first consider your ways, he wants them to stop and think, who are you putting first in your life? And the answer at this point was themselves. They were putting themselves before God. And if we're not careful, the same thing can happen to us. And God says, I want you to consider your ways. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy, just quickly, chapter 32, God, in speaking to Israel, just prior to going into the promised land, I remember this is about 1,000 years prior. Okay? We're talking a lot of time. Between Deuteronomy and Haggai, we're talking 1,000 years. But look what God told them just before they went into the promised land. This was the song of Moses that God gave him just prior to Moses dying and being taken to heaven. Down in verse 29, Deuteronomy 32:29. Look what he says. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God told them in advance, you are going to be rebellious. You're not going to listen to my word. You're going to go into the land. You're not going to obey me. You're going to worship other gods. I'm going to have to punish you. And they went through that cycle for centuries. Until God finally reached the end of that and finally said, that's it. Took Israel captive 100 years later, took Judah captive. And just a few people left behind. They were completely removed out of their land. So now they're starting to filter back in to their land. Sound familiar? 1948. They're starting to filter back into their land. This is 500 BC. And God comes down and speaks to a prophet Haggai and says, I want you to consider your ways. You're rebuilding your own homes. You're focusing on pleasing self. Look at my temple. It's still razed to the ground. I want you to rebuild it. I want you to put me first. And yet, we as Christians, oftentimes, we don't stop and consider. Where is my current thinking? Where is my current living taking me? If our life is filled with self-righteousness, where's the end of that? What's going to be the end result? God says, he that exalted himself shall be abased. That's going to be the end result. If my life is filled with bitterness, in other words, I won't forgive. I want to just hold on to the anger that I have towards people that have wronged me. I won't forgive them. The Bible says that root of bitterness is going to defile many. It's going to end up hurting those around you. If I'm going to hold on to easily getting offended and I'm going to hold on to my temper, the Bible says he that's without rule over his own spirit is like a city that was out walls, broken down and without walls. If I'm going to continue to moan and complain, God's going to have to punish me. And we could go on and on. The point is we really need sometimes in our Christian lives to just stop and consider our ways. Where am I going? If I take and I extrapolate where I am right now and the way that I'm living for God or not living for God, where will I be in 5 years? Will I be closer to God or will I be further away from God? And God wanted them to stop and consider. Notice verse 6. He says, you've sown much, you bring in little. You eat, you have not enough. You drink, you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, there's none warm. He that earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes. What's he saying? I've been trying to get your attention. Yeah, you're coming back into the land, back to Jerusalem and the regions around, but look at your lives. You're self-focused, but you're miserable. And you know what? When we aren't right with God, we are miserable. A lot of times we try to put on a show and say, oh, everything's great, everything's wonderful, but truth is we're miserable. He's saying to them, just stop and think. Look what's happening. You try to earn a living, you put your money in a bag with holes. Everything you're putting your hand to isn't working. Why? Because you haven't stopped to consider your ways. You're not putting me first, God says. Go to Revelation 3, where Jesus says the same thing to the Laodicean church, which is most likely representative of us, the latter-day church, which we find ourselves in. Here in verse 17, he says, Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So the church was saying, look at me, I'm rich. Look at all this stuff I have. Which, that's modern day culture, isn't it? It's all about the stuff. How much stuff can I get? How much stuff do I have? And what does that lead to? I have need of nothing. And God says, I want you to stop and consider that you're actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So it's about man's perspective or God's perspective. God says, I want you to stop. Verse 7 of our passage, consider your ways. Haggai 1:7. I want you to stop and think about where you're going, what's happening in your life. Is your current behaviors, your current focus, what God wants? And are you really living a life of joy and peace in the Lord, or are you miserable? Consider your ways. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's an Old Testament and a New Testament principle. You reap what you sow. He's saying to them, look what you've sown and look what you're reaping. Putting your money in a bag with holes, not enough to eat, can't get warm. Nothing's working. So you reap selfishness. You sow selfishness. What do you reap? A miserable walk. God says, consider your ways. Verse 8. I want you to go up to the mountain. I want you to bring wood and build a house. That's pretty direct. That's God's just saying, laying it out straight. It's time. The temple's been destroyed long enough. I want you to go to the mountains. I want you to cut down some trees. And I want you to get down and I want you to rebuild the temple. Verse 8, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified. Why? Because it's a building? As we know, a building can't contain God. God's everywhere. It's not about the building. It's about honoring the Lord. That's what the temple was all about. It's about having a place to go and give sacrifices, having a place to go and focus on praying to the Lord. It wasn't about the building. Just like church isn't about the building, is it? Church is the people. And the temple was representative of God. It was a place where they could come and the priests could take the sacrifices. They could offer them up to the Lord. But God is saying, I want you to put me first. And if we'll put God first, he says he'll take pleasure in it and he will be glorified. Isn't that beautiful? Again, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. Look at John chapter 6, if you would. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about this when he talked about what we labor for, what we work for. And sadly, we know what the world works for, but sadly, many Christians are putting all their energy and focus and time on things that are not going to last. John chapter 6, 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus isn't saying it's a sin to have a job. He's commanded us to have a job. He says, if any will provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and worse than an infidel. So to not work is a sin. But what's the focus? The focus is supposed to be the Lord. We can have a job and focus on the Lord. Go to 1 Peter 4. We'll see it from Peter's perspective. 1 Peter 4, 2. Again, who are we putting first in our lives? Self or the Lord? These Israelites were putting self first, and God said, it's not working. Look around. Look what's happening. Things aren't working. Consider your ways. Look at 1 Peter 4, 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. It's talking about those of us that have been saved. We're no longer going to live our lives to please self. Now we're going to live our lives to the will of God, to please God. So back to our passage. This is one of those rare times, I'm happy to say, that Israel actually listened to the prophet and changed their ways. Isn't that exciting? The majority of the time, that's not what happens, like we'll see in Jeremiah tonight. The majority of the time, they heard what God had to say. They either said no right away, or they said yes, and then they disobeyed anyway. But in this situation, verse 12, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed. Isn't that good? They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. God sent Haggai and said, I want you to consider your ways. My house lies waste. Nothing that you do is working. I'm holding back the blessings because you won't listen. I'm going to talk to you through my prophet Haggai and say, rebuild my house. And what did they do? They obeyed. I love it. They actually listened to the word of God and changed their ways. God loves it when we do that. God's pleased and glorified when we hear the word of God and the Holy Spirit applies it to our heart and he convicts us and we change. It's called Christian growth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, verse 13, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I'm with you. Remember what he said earlier? I haven't been with you. That's why nothing's working. That's why no matter what you earn, you don't have anything. And why your clothes won't keep you warm. And why you don't have enough to eat. Why you don't have enough to drink. Nothing's working. Saying, now you're going to do the right thing and obey me. You know what's going to follow? Blessings. That's another principle that's in the Old and the New Testament. When we're living an obedient life, our lives are more blessed. When we're living a disobedient life, God has to get our attention, and often the opposite is true. Go to Deuteronomy 28, and I'll show you another example of this from the Old Testament. This was just a couple of chapters prior to the one we looked at where Moses sang his final song. But here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, God again is saying to Israel, it's your choice. You can obey and be blessed, or you can disobey and not. Look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass if, right there's the key word of the whole verse, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And there's verse after verse after verse of all the ways that God's going to bless them. If. That's the key. If you'll put me first. If you'll obey my commandments, I'm going to give you all these blessings. Because, by the way, look at verse 15 if you're still in Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments and the statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee. The list of curses is longer than the list of blessings. So two ifs there. If you will obey, here's all the ways I'm going to bless you. If you will disobey, here's all the ways I'm going to curse you. That's always been a principle of Scripture. And in this rare occasion here in Haggai chapter 1, we can go back there. The people actually listened to God's prophet and said, God's right. Nothing's working. God's temple lies waste. We've been very selfish. We've just been focused on pleasing self. We need to change our ways. We need to stop focusing on pleasing self and get busy and rebuild God's house. And that's exactly what they did. The Bible says in verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. And then he stirred up the Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant. It says, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So they started the house basically 3 weeks after Haggai was given this message from God. And it took them about 4 years to rebuild the temple. And you can read that account in the book of Ezra. They finished it in about chapter 6 of Ezra, 4 years later. But the point is, they listened to the word of God. When God said, consider your ways, they stopped. They considered their ways, just like God said. They acknowledged that they were not putting God first in their lives. And they changed. It's kind of a basic thing of Christianity. And I believe that if we would just stop now and then and just consider, where am I going right now? Where is my current way of thinking, my current way of living, my current way of serving God, taking me? And just stop and consider, is God first? Am I focused on pleasing the Lord? Am I focused on accomplishing His will in my life? Because He has a plan for me. Am I doing it? And if we'll do that now and then and do a little bit of a reset, I think we can go a long way. Or we can just carry on and just be selfish. And then God's just going to keep giving us a bag with holes in it. So what a beautiful truth and what a beautiful response from God's people here. To say, Haggai's right. God's right. Let's change. And they did. And God blessed them. God will do the same in our lives if we'll just stop, consider our ways, and say, you know what? I am going to seek first the kingdom of God. I am going to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is, and I'm going to fulfill it in my life. I'm going to make mistakes, but God first. Amen? Consider your ways. Let's pray.